to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility, where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up, because we're going live on the Fight Mixer Show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to part two of the Fight Mixer. We are here with the Bare Knuckle Queen herself, ranked number one in the world at 155, Miss Christine the Misfit. How you doing today?
What's up, Jay? Just chilling. How are you?
I'm doing good. Not too shabby at all. And, you know, congratulations, and I forgot to congratulate you. You won September 11th. Big win. What have you been doing since then?
Good. I'm just, I have a little strain in my arm, so, just babying that for right now, and just trying to help everybody else around me give back a little bit while I'm down, and train people, and just keep my name in the game, keep my head in the game, you know?
Yeah, and passing down your knowledge to everybody else, and I've seen your training videos, and you're doing a great job with all these different students, both young and old. So getting back on topic, you know, because the reason why we got you on the show is because you posted about a podcaster saying, oh, Paige VanZant can beat you, and I highly disagree with that, but is there any talk going on with that, or what's going on? What's shaking behind the scenes?
There's, the talks are saying Christine will never fight Paige VanZant. So the thing is like, I'm not calling Paige out. She's not on my level for one. She's not even had one bare knuckle fight. She's not even a boxing background. She is not even my level. So when I have podcasters saying, I don't address her, I'm not going to talk shit about her, I don't have anything to say like that. She's great for the company. I want Bare Knuckle to grow. I want nothing but positive light shed on us. So like this retard of a podcast guy is just trying to get clout or pussy. I don't know which one it is, both maybe. But saying that Paige VanZant can beat me, and I'm just like, it just irks me a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm sitting back. I'm out right now with the injury, and I can't. I'm the type that's like, I'm a little aggressive in my approach to representing myself, I guess you could say, because I'm the only person that really markets myself, I feel like, you know, so I have to do it my way and get my name out the best way I can, and then someone says that, like, it's irritating, you know what I mean? And I try not to even address, like, why am I going to address Paige? I'm never going to fight her. It's not going to happen, you know?
But I would personally take it as a compliment, too, because now you're number one, you're on top of the hill, you sit at the throne, and you had such a long career. I mean, you were undefeated in Muay Thai, you went to amateur mixed martial arts, you fought for the great Jeff Meyer with Tough Enough. And then you went to Victa, and now you went to BKFC, transferred over from mixed martial arts to BKFC with, you know, a great record fighting some killers. And now you sit at the top of the floor. Don't you find that, like, as a compliment now, going from where you were to now where you are now, that people are actually putting in the same light as who people would consider as a very remarkable name coming from the UFC? I mean, you know, now you're at the top of the hill.
I love it. I love that I found my niche. You know, MMA wasn't my thing. I really hated training it. I didn't excel in MMA because I hated everything about it, you know. I love stand-up. Like, I respect MMA to the fullest. It's tough. It's hard to study so many different disciplines. It wasn't for me, but I love bare knuckle. It's hard. It's hard to do because, you know, when you go in there, you get hit or you hit her, or it hurts either way. Nothing, everything is pain in this game. Like, when you hit, you know, when you're jabbing with gloves, I mean, it's just hurting that person. You know what I mean? Like, when you're jabbing with no gloves, it's ouch, ouch, ouch. You know what I mean? So, you just have to learn how to endure the pain. I love it. And I love it because physical work is my forte. I love hard, hard, hard work. And really, I love mental warfare. So, that's why fighting, I love fighting so much. So, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that Bare Knuckle came, David Feldman created this, you know. I just hope that my image doesn't hurt me again, because that's where it hurt me. I was a undefeated Muay Thai fighter, my image hurt me. Then I went to MMA, my image hurt me. You know what I mean? Like, everywhere I go, it's just the way I look and the way I carry myself. People, it's a turn off, I guess, for marketing. So Dave's been really good with me so far, you know, but, you know, I see what's going on right now. I see all the girls that are being promoted right now, you know, so it's oh my God, here we go again.
I was at the event in Daytona and I watched you put on a clinic, so nobody can doubt your skill. I mean,
right. Yeah, of course. Yeah. You can't, the skill can't be doubted, but it's all this beauty here that, so I don't know. I just hope it doesn't stop my progression as an athlete again, you know?
I wouldn't say that it would hurt or be a deterrent. I mean, everyone needs, Linus is a big name in the UFC. I mean, everyone is looking for a Mike Tyson. Everyone's looking for that type of, you know, someone that's going to put on a clinic every single fight. Someone's going to put on exciting fights. I think bare knuckle fighting, and to your point, I think you definitely found your niche, because it definitely needs the stars, and you're part of that. You're a big star now. People are looking forward to watching you fight, including me. I mean, I feel from a point of view that everyone's looking for a Mike Tyson or a type of you where, you know, somebody that's always going to put on an exciting fight, you know?
Absolutely. That's what I studied. Just like when I was coming up, I was studying Mike Tyson, Chris Cyborg. You know, those are the people. That's why I'm like, those are the people that I really like took in. So like their style and their work ethic, that's just go hard, hit hard, be strong, you know what I mean? So that's exactly what I wanted to be, and that's why I came, you know.
Yeah. And how long is your recovery time? How long until we can see you in back in the ring?
I think May. It's gonna be May. A minute. Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's gonna be a minute. Yeah. It's gonna be a minute. I think it's kind of good. Huh?
Was it that serious where you're gonna be out for?
Yeah, it's pretty serious. It's pretty serious. So I went into this last fight. That's, if you see this fight, you'll see I'm pretty sloppy. Even I got the job done, but it was sloppy because first of all, I was trying to get it done as fast as possible because I knew I had just gotten over double pneumonia and I had an injury in my shoulder. So like I couldn't even throw a straight right hand. It was coming like this. And my counters weren't coming because the injury. So like I couldn't counter, like, cause she had a slow jab and she would paw it out. Like I was studying the fights and she pawed out and I wanted to come over the top. I couldn't react. So I got the job done the way I had to, you know?
Yeah. And coming into May, I mean, is there somebody you want to play, or are you pretty much going to be sitting pretty until a challenger emerges? Because they're talking about Paige versus Britton Hart. You beat Britton Hart. Are you going to kind of wait that out, see how the 125-pound division plays out? Or is there someone in your mind that you would want to get back in the ring with as your comeback fight?
I don't care who they give me. I'm not that kind of, I'm the fighter that fights whoever. That's probably been a problem of mine because they know that. They know I'm just going to do whatever the hell they want. You know what I mean? Because I'm that person. But I just want the fights because when I prepare extremely hard. Like, I'm a very dedicated, disciplined person. So I'm grind. So if they don't give me someone up to my level, it's just kind of like I wasted my grind almost. Like, you know, and I'm not going to ever, like, no matter what opponent they have in front of me, I'm always going to train hard. You know what I mean? I don't care if I know I can beat them or I know that they, whatever, it just, that doesn't change for me, because if I change my ethic in one camp, then it's going to trickle on into my other ones. And so when I do fight that beast, I'm going to be, you know, kind of like acting like the last camp. So I just know that I got to keep my levels high all the time, no matter who I'm fighting.
Right. I hope that I'm sorry for interrupting you. What are you saying? I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
And I hope when you do come back, which is obviously going to be May, that things are going to be calmed down now, and like they can have crowds back in, and you know, you coming off a double pneumonia. I hope the game is back to normal, or at least some semblance of normal. So you know, there's no risk of getting sick, because that's a big deterrent too. Like you know, training camp can't be like how the usual training camp was. So you're just going to get that much more better talent if things get back to normal, you know?
Right. That's what happened. I got ready for a previous opponent for a whole year, almost a whole year, and got canceled 3 in a row, and I just got weight for each one of those. So, like, I basically, in my mind, my body went through 3 camps without fighting. So I broke down, and by the time the real fight came, I was already broke down, and then I ended up getting COVID, double pneumonia. And then I got that injury, and I think, and it was right after I got over the double pneumonia 4 weeks out from this last fight, and they released from the hospital 4 weeks, and they're like, my girl was like, you ain't fighting. I was like, I just had a year of preparation. I'm fine. I don't care. Like, I knew the opponent I had, I was gonna be fine. Like, I already knew, I know, you know. So, and I knew I had this injury. I was like, I could beat her with double pneumonia and whatever I had. I already knew it. So no offense to her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, there's levels to this. So, I just, my body broke down, and I didn't, and there was no break. Because then they're like, okay, you're going to fight March. Oh, you're going to fight July. Oh, no, you're going to fight August. No, okay, now it's September 11th. And I'm like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And I just do what I got to do. There's no, it's nobody's fault. This COVID thing, it's not David Feldman's fault. It's not BKFC. It's nobody's fault. This is worldwide. We're all suffering from this. So I don't hold anybody, it's nobody's fault. You know, so I just got to keep going. We just got to keep going, keep pushing through and getting ready for the next. Or, like, I'm glad I did. Like, I'm healing myself right now because it's COVID. Like, we're going to have to wait back to, there could be another cancellation. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. It's all this new, what is it called? Vaccine? Whatever.
They're coming out with like 3 different vaccines.
I call them antidotes. I'm like, when the antidotes come out. So whatever.
It's like a jab in the arm.
I'm like, whatever these antidotes, I mean, vaccines, whatever they are, come out, then, you know, then we're going to have to wait probably like 5 months, another 5 months to see how it does, right? For people. And people are not going to trust it until other people do it. So it's, I think the end of next year is when we're going to get back to normal. Like, you know, ish.
Right.
So I'm just healing. I'm just going to heal. I'm going to give back where I can, help people that deserve it. You know what I mean? And that's it. I'm enjoying like sitting back, not kind of enjoying. I'm trying to brainwash myself on enjoying doing sitting back because I'm in it. So I have to like mentally adjust out of beast mode, you know, and take a seat back and then work on my mental game, work on, like I said, helping everybody else and kind of generating more money for my house. You know what I mean?
Cool. And is your game plan staying with BKFC, or do you want to make the switcheroo like how Paige did? Do you want to like, go back into MMA, maybe dabble in that a little bit? Or is the game plan staying BKFC, finishing out your career, and possibly opening up your own gym, becoming a coach? What's your trajectory like for you?
Yeah, I want to stay. I don't want to go anywhere else. BKFC is the best combat sport in the world. Like, this is, if they would have had this 10 years ago, this would have been where I stayed. I don't need to do anything else. I love boxing. Boxing's amazing. Right. So it's boxing with no gloves, and it's different. It's very different. But it's still boxing, you know? So I love this. My fight IQ has grown so much. The promotion's great. I get paid great. I don't need to go anywhere else. I take care of here, you know?
Yeah.
I'll open a gym. And I'm definitely going to open a gym, probably with my brother. and maybe some other guys. I don't know. We're doing some talking right now about.
Always a good game plan. Yeah. Always a good game plan. And how was the transition like? Because you worked your entire career with mixed martial art gloves, boxing gloves, now bare knuckle. I mean, I got hit with all three, and they all suck the same to me. So, but what was the biggest transition like, and how long did it take you to transition from kickboxing, mixed martial arts, to bare knuckle fighting? Like, did you just discover bare knuckle fighting, or did David give you a call and say, hey, come aboard and train for this fight? Like, what was the transition like?
So what happened was I had my last fight with Karina Rodriguez in MMA, and I feel like her boxing kind of, like, edged out the fight. And, like, it was a really close fight, but I feel like her boxing, because I was a Muay Thai fighter. So, you know, Muay Thai fighters, the hands aren't the greatest, right? We hit hard as shit, but it's not, like, it's just basically let's see who hits harder and can take the most punishment. So I feel like that hurt me in that fight. So I went to Gil Martinez for boxing, and I was working on my boxing and found out that I didn't realize the level change of hands, how different, like, boxing is, and like the level, the speed, the my God, the angles, the footwork, the head movement, how important it is, and how, like, I was sparring 14-year-old boys that I had to really fight them. Like, they're like, okay, you're gonna be with my 13-year-old, you know, guys, and I'm like, the disrespect, like, what, like, for real? And then I went in there, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to really, like, because in Muay Thai and MMA, like, if they're, like, 13, 14, like, I'm not hitting them that hard. Like, they're not that skill level. So I went in there, and they just started ripping me, dude. And I'm like, dude, yeah. I don't fight this kid right now. Like, for real, fight this kid, he's going to knock me out. I'm not even joking, dude. So, like, I fell in love with it. I was getting schooled by kids, dude, like. Counter, boom, 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 boom. Like, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
The right now? 14-year-old.
Like, that sent me home, like, questioning my life, dude. I'm like,
what the hell? You know, like,
wow. it's awesome, though, and the work ethic, I love it. The cardio that I gained, my body's like the best it's ever been. I'm in the healthiest condition I've ever been doing boxing. I love it, man. So, like, I was just at Gil Martinez's gym, and then I got a phone call. I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was Nate or I forgot who it was, but they said, do you want to do a bare knuckle fight? And I'm like, you know, we get messages like the fighter, like people talking shit, and tell them saying random stuff. So,
Pakistanis who want to sell you their ghees and great quality products.
Yeah, so I was like, bare knuckle boxing? Really? Okay. Like, yeah, just like, what is this, Kimbo Slice's homie or what? You know what I mean? So, I didn't really believe it at first. Then I saw that he signed back. And then I believed it.
Yeah.
So that makes me understand now, like, why they bring in the names they do, because then it legitimizes it, you know what I mean? So, you know, so that's how I believed that it was real and, like, legit. So that's what brought me in. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I want to fight that, though.
Right.
And they're like, okay, well, we'll see, you know, and they went back after. She kept ducking me, dude. So, like, that's why I'm sick of, like, trying to chase these fighters that think they're all hard and they've been in the UFC and they think they're the best. They ain't best, dude. They just look me-ish.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they run. And I'm not going to chase Paige, like, and talk about shit to her, about her, and get more enemies. Like, why am I going to make her... And when she never gonna fight me,
right?
Like, and there's no point to it, no.
Yeah, and I see. I like how what Dave Feldman's doing, because he's building up stars. Like, he's building up his homegrown stars. Like, you obviously have a huge fan base. There's plenty of fighters with huge fan bases. And, you know, on that coin, I don't think any of these fighters coming over from UFC and giving them millions is really necessary, considering David knows how to build stars. You know how to build yourself and market yourself. And obviously you're a star and you have a huge following. Like, but on the same token too, I can see it from maybe Paige's point of view and a lot of these UFC fighters' point of view and boxers' point of view. Like, he wanted to throw like $20 million over to fucking Mike Tyson to come over to bare knuckle fighting. Like, I see it from other and I see it from a lot of fighters' point of views where they want to come over now to BKFC and challenge themselves. But, you know, from my point of view, you guys are doing a great job anyway. Dave's doing a great job. You're doing a great job. BKFC can survive just based on the talent that they have already, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, dude, I told Feldman, I hit him, I text him when I seen that Mike Tyson going around that he signed him or whatever. And I was like, bro, if you have him on the show, I will fight for free on that one. Like, really? I have a test there. You ask him. He's like, I might take you up on that. I was like, I swear to God, have me on that show. I will fight for free. Just because, dude, just like for
exposure.
Exposure to Mike Tyson is a god to me. Like, I
absolutely
don't fangirl anybody, dude. Like, there's one person in the world, and it's Mike Tyson, dude. I love, like, Tyler Bidron, too. Like, that guy, I went, so 2 years ago, you know, fighters, there's not that many bare-knuckle fighters, so I was like, how the hell am I supposed to study bare-knuckle fighting? Oh, wait, right. Same here. Oh, what's up? So I was trying to study, like, get the techniques. How do I do this? Like, there's got to be a different way to fight. And, you know, the back-in-the-day stuff, and it's kind of like, looking for something more in our day. And then I saw Tyler Goodjohn, and I've been studying him for a long time. And dude, I'm so happy he's in this promotion now. Dude, he's a fucking hell of a guy, dude. And they work hard, him and Mark. They work really hard, and their work ethic's great. So, like, I love being around them. You know what I mean? They're here in Vegas, and guy, he's gonna be fighting on Friday, Tyler, and it's gonna be a dope ass show. He's gonna do well in the promotion.
And he's fighting against Crazy Horse. It was Crazy Horse is a crazy individual. I remember, like, back in the day where he got into a fight with the entire Shooter Box clan, and he got into, like, a fist fight with Vanderlei Silva. Like, there's a screw loose with Crazy Horse. So that's gonna be fireworks for sure.
Yeah. He's crazy, man. I try to hold a conversation with the guy, and it's just like, hey, what's up, bro? That's all I say now. What's up, dude? Like, there's no holding conversation like that. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. Yeah. And is there anybody who would want to fight from, like, boxing or, like, UFC if they would decide to come over? Like, if you could pick someone, like, cherry pick your next opponent, because obviously you sit on your throne. Okay. Hey, I'll fight this person. Who would you want to fight?
I like the Masrano. You know, that's a fight that I really want. I've been like kind of saying her name out respectively. I really respect her skills. I respect her tenacity. I respect her little swag, her little attitude. You know what I mean? She's from Brooklyn, New York. I'm from the other side. I'm from San Jose, California, the Bay Area. So I'm like East Coast, West Coast. Let's see who's harder. Let's see who's tougher. Let's see who got it. You know what I mean? And she's a great athlete, very dedicated. I think it would be an awesome fight, dude. And she's southpaw. I don't care if it's southpaw or not, but I think it would be a dope fight. I think she'd be able to she'd give a fight. You know what I mean? She'd give me a real good hard. Like, I'm gonna prepare for that fight like no other fight. You know what I mean? Also, I would fight Nunes. Dude, I'll knock her out, bro. I swear to God.
Call it out.
I'm going to move up. Well, I need to win some fights to call her out. So I need to get, you know, they need to put me in some more fights and get some great knockouts and be like, you ain't shit. You know what I mean? Come over here. Yeah. And maybe mess with her ego a little bit because I know she's egotistical, so I can play with that and try and get her over, you know? I would love to knock her out, dude. I would love to. I know I can't.
You guys, like, have very good, like, as far as measurements are concerned and fighters in the pocket, like, you guys have great extension. You guys have good ring awareness where you are, how close you are to the opponent. Like, you guys are very good at, like, measuring up opponents, full extension and punches. Like, you know, I that would be a great fight, actually, you versus Nunes.
Yeah, she's a little bit – she's not much taller than me. I've met her before. She's not much taller than me. She's a bit – longer than me, she has reach on me, but I fight guys. That's all I really spar is like bigger dudes than me, so I'm used to dealing with that, you know. So I know it would be if I get caught, it's gonna be Like, I got to be careful with her, too. I know she's super powerful. You know what I'm saying? But does she have the hands for me? No. Hell no. She ain't got them hands. I'm going to see everything she throws. She ain't slick. She just comes in and hits you hard. You know what I mean? That's why. That's another thing. It's like, oh, she's the greatest. Nice. She's very good. She's very good. But I'm talking about technical boxing, like, and going in there and with a bare knuckle and being able to take that. Give it back. It's gonna be. It's good. It's a game changer, you know. So I know, but in MMA, like, and I'll move up too in weight. So I want to. If they don't have anything for me, 125, I'm gonna move up, dude. Because 125 is a big cut for me.
Like, right.
You know.
And then, Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting you again. Don't pardon my enthusiasm, by the way. But also Amanda Nunes. I'm sorry, but Amanda Nunes also has a lot of weapons to work with, too, in mixed martial arts. So she can get off her punches, and people don't want to rush into the pocket either, because also if you take it into the ground, she's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. So plenty of threats. Her going into bare-knuckle fighting, and I know people look at me like I'm insane, like, oh, Amanda Nunes versus Christine, because right now Amanda Nunes is on fire in mixed martial arts. Right. But I think it would be an entirely different ballgame if she came over and fought you in bare-knuckle fighting, because she won't have those weapons on the ground and everything. Keep people at bay.
And if I did enough to get her attention, you know what I'm saying? Like, to get more attention in my what I'm doing, then I'm going to be able to get fights like that. You know what I mean? Right. And I know David can afford that. You know what I mean? And pay for her to come over. You know what I'm saying? And it would be awesome, dude, because I'm willing to do it. And it would be a good fight. It's not like it's just going to be like she's going to come in and run me over. It's gonna be like, I'm not going down easy. If you knock me down, you guys know I'm gonna get right back and I'm gonna knock her down, or I'm gonna, you know, come. I'm just gonna sleep me. You know what I'm saying? Even if I break my hand, I broke my hand in the first round to kick her off a jab. I was landing it hard, but I still went back into second round and did what I do with my right. You know what I mean? So, and it's a torn, you know what I mean? So, I'm the type of fighter that needs to use me to get these crazy fights, because I mean, Amanda Nunes is a big girl, you know, and it's a crazy fight for me to take, because I'm not that big, you know what I'm saying? But I'll take it, and I'll work, put some weight on me, and I won't have to cut, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm going to be faster than her, you know, so there's just a lot of things that play in my favor,
you know. And so before we let you go, we have one more question from a fan. Who was your favorite fighter growing up, and what fighter got you into the sport?
Honestly, when I was growing up, I didn't watch fighting. I didn't know. I was fighting on the streets. So I was a little troublemaker. I was like doing other things when I was a kid. So I was fighting. I was on the street and doing that. So I was my favorite. No, my brother was my favorite fighter. All right. Actually. Like, okay. William Faria, that was my favorite fighter. But no, I started getting into fighting and stuff like that. It was Mike Tyson and Chris Cyborg. So Chris Cyborg got my mind to be like, oh, wait, we can do this? Like, okay, let me do this and make money. Let me do this and be a fighter, a professional fighter. So Chris really made it reality for me.
Yeah, and that's a good fighter to look up to, especially in females MMA. I mean, she was the first, made a bet with Gina Carano, I believe it was Strikeforce 2009. Before that, you know, the only time you could see females MMA where they actually marketed was like Smack Girl in Japan and way back in the day. Like, yeah, I'm glad this sport has evolved now, and, you know, Chris Eiberg is still going to be fucking dangerous anywhere she goes. But before we let you go, any place we can find you, where do you train out of, or where are you doing coaching so people can sign up? Where can we find you? Shout outs, sponsors. I leave before you.
All right, thank you. Right now, I'm training with Gil Martinez. I am training people out of DLS Boxing. My Instagram is at Christine Faria. My Facebook is Christine Faria. My fan page is at Bare Knuckle. Bare Knuckle. Just go to my Facebook. I don't even use my fan page. So I want to give shout out to my sponsors, Rude, Ben Farms, and the Oz CBD company.
Cool. Awesome. And someone's in the
Dan Feldman. Thank you guys for having me on.
Awesome. And someone wants to say hello. She's in the lobby. We're going to let her in. Matt.
Oh, I didn't know I wanted to say hello. I just wanted to say hi to my homie. What's up, girl? What's up, girl? Looking forward to seeing you. Looking forward to seeing you.
Oh, what's up, mama?
Gina.
Hey, I know she didn't recognize me. Like, I have no makeup on. I'm tired as fuck. I've been working doubles at work, fucking training my ass off. I'm tired. I look like shit. But you know what? I don't give a fuck. But,
What's up, bro? I know you're killing the game.
Yeah, you're killing it every day, man. I just see any of your posts and I feel like a scrub fucking day in and day out. Man. You made me want to go do crunches and shit. Like, just looking at your training videos. Oh, my, it's so funny. I hope they get you a good title fight or something coming up here for you. That belt's just sitting there and that shit's yours and kind of shitty about that whole ordeal, you know, for those of you guys that didn't know, man, she's supposed to have that rematch and, you know, double take it back, had a questionable decision first time, unfortunately, you know, with, you know, judges fucking tallies and numbers, shit didn't fucking add up at the end and, you know, she wants your belt back and it's just fucking sitting there now and that's her shit. So I really hope they find you something, somebody worthy, because I know you don't fight bums either. So, And I just hope you just ain't gotta wait a while, you know what I mean? I was looking forward to seeing you compete.
Nah, it's all good. You know, I'm just waiting. You know, my time will come, you know, and I'll get my go back, you know.
I can't wait to see you fight, though. I'm going, hey man, that fucking rice cream of wheat, I'll tell you what.
Oh, all right. Hey, it's good iron though.
Right. You won't be able to tell from my pale ass face, but I don't live in Las Vegas. So.
All right, well, I can't wait to see both of you guys in Biloxi. So I can't wait to see both of you guys in the Biloxi, but we got to wrap the show up. So
we're going to get some pho. You want to get some pho? You go to the IP casino, you go to the second floor, and go all the way to the left, and I got the best fucking pho.
Thank you both so much for coming on the show.
That's number three. Number one, congratulations on all your success. Great careers from both of you. I can't wait to see you fight Sheena, and I can't wait to cheer you on, Misfit. You guys are the best, especially the best.
I'll be good, man. I'll have Misfit there, man. I can't lose. She's there yelling at me. Motherfucker, she is too, man. She mean. She gets in my ass. You eating right? All right, you go run today. Get your ass up. All right, let's go. She be a great fucking coach.
She's awesome.
I appreciate you. I appreciate her. So, you know, glad we got somebody like her in the division. Everybody, I mean, I don't care who the fuck, everybody that's fought for BKFC can fucking definitely admire, respect, and, you know, look up to Misfit, because, man, she grinder, she's tough, and, you know, she's good people. So thanks for not being a dick. World full of dicks. Love you.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Misfit and Sheena Stark. Thank you so much.
Right. Bye, guys.
Have a good one. Thanks.
I love those guys.
Yep.
Both of them. Fucking awesome.
All the BKFC people are great. Like,
yeah, I love, and that's what I was leading to, too. Christine absolutely is marketable. I mean, she's going to get that belt back. She's number one. She's sitting on the throne. She's sitting on the cusp right now. She's going to get that belt back. And for people that are just tuning in, you know, Christine, you know, she went to a questionable decision. That was her only loss in BKFC. You know, she's going to get that win back. She looks phenomenal. She's a fucking buzzsaw. You know, everyone, she's a big problem in the 125-pound division in BKFC, so. I'm looking forward to seeing her fight again, which is, she said, May. So hopefully we'll see how things play out. Maybe Paige can get past Bret Hart. We're talking about Bret Hart, but I hope she gets past Bret Hart so we can make that money fight happen, because that is the money fight. I think Christina wins hands down because, you know, Christina has a way about her where she'll bring you into dark, dark waters, and I don't think Paige is ready for that, especially in her, what, it's going to probably be her second or third fight when we get to May. You know, Christina's going to be absolutely a problem, and she's gonna get that belt back. So, and Sheena is gonna have a banger fight December 11th. That's gonna be a great card. So, shout out to both of them.
Yep,
honor having you on the show. honored.
My only disappointment to that whole BKFC card is that you won't be there.
So. Yeah, I wish I could be there, but work is crazy, especially during the holidays. But I'll get up there, and we're talking about Pancras, so we're working on that project, and especially me doing commentating. So a lot of shit happening. And the television show, too, Miseducation MMA, second episode, a bunch of delays because of script rewrites. So, you know, a lot on my plate, but I will definitely make it out to BKFC and cheer these absolutely fucking phenomenal athletes on. So the trip is the inevitable. It's just a matter of when.
I'm sure at some point you'll be down.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah, brother. So anybody, what's in store for Wednesday and Thursday show, my friend?
You would ask. Let me pull the old scheduler up. While we're doing that, I do want to thank Junger Nutrition for sponsoring us, as well as Goat Combat Agency.
Great agency. And Goat actually represents Sheena Starr. It's a great agency. And, you know, they really care about the fighters. They are very nice.
She's actually you're talking about Sheena. She's actually she fights for Goat Combat. That's her management company.
Correct.
She's with them, so.
Yeah, so Go Management definitely putting these great fighters in the right direction, and big shout out to Goat Management and Duranger Nutrition. I got my own samples, and soon I'm gonna be coming out with my own commercial for Duranger Nutrition, and you guys are gonna laugh your panties off, I promise.
Well, I'm having trouble pulling the calendar up.
It's okay.
I know Bertain Hart is coming on.
And I think when she comes on, we got to talk about that, especially her. I think they're talking about Paige versus her. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the fight. That's the fight they're going to make. I think so.
Was it who? Bertain and who?
I think it's going to be Paige versus Hart. I think that's what they're talking about.
I was at the Miami event, and she blew her a kiss, and that's where it all started happening. But I don't know if it actually got scheduled. Bertain Hart will be on at 16th, and then Gustavo Lopez, just coming off a UFC win, will be on the Thursday show for the 17th.
Works for me, brother. So, any last words? Any parting words? Holy shit! They just booked Floyd Mayweather versus Jake Paul. Yo, I don't know who booked these fights. But whatever drugs they're on, call me, okay? I'll buy your finest hash. Send me a call. Because I want to know how fucking stoned you were to think that booking Mayweather versus Jake Paul was a good idea.
No, is that a serious fight?
It's a serious fight. Mayweather just announced it. Listen.
Now, you know, I defended the whole Jake versus basketball player, right?
Yeah.
I'm out on this one. This is stupid.
Same fucking coin, though. I mean, Jake Paul.
It's not. If they would have placed him with, you know, some uprising, the next fight after you know, somebody also that doesn't fight, the next fight should be somebody that actually does fight, that's, you know, got a few fights under his belt, and he should work his way up.
Well, this is the same argument I had last week. Hold on, I'm gonna pop up the name because I just wanna. Hold on. I'm popping up the name right now, but this is going to go to my point. Lyle Alzado. That guy played for the Oakland Raiders. He went to fight Muhammad Ali, and it was a freak show fight. Nobody bought it. Nobody considered it any more than just an exhibition celebrity boxing bullshit match back in the 70s, 80s, whenever they fought. You know,
that's a professional fighter. That's a professional fighter versus
a football player.
Nobody. I mean, just because you have a name, you're still a nobody in the boxing game.
At the end of the day, though, Jake Paul, you know, he's trained for 3 years, and he gets to fight an Olympic bronze medalist. He should
fight an amateur, you know, somebody just turning pro.
Put Jake in the fucking amateurs, or put him in a lower – why is he making millions?
He should be somebody's first pro fight.
No, that's not how the rankings work. When you're 0-0, like, oh, my God. And you don't share a card with Mike Tyson if you're 0-0. It just doesn't happen. Co-main event with Mike Tyson, that would have never happened in the 80s, 90s, or early 2000s. That's fucking blasphemy. Unbelievable.
I mean, the Well,
I'm getting
I just wrote that. There's always room for, there's always room for a freak show.
No. No. It wasn't cool in Pride. It wasn't. They had freak show fights. It was called celebrity boxing. Vanilla Ice box somebody. Fucking Flavor Flav box somebody, I think.
That's all it is.
Yeah, but why are we going to make this legitimate? Why are we going to give it legitimacy?
Jake Paul said we all knew it was a freak show. You knew from the title of it was a freak show.
Yeah, Howie, I know. A loud doctor from complication from steroid abuse.
I mean, they should have been like, okay, and here's the main event, and here's the freak show. That's what they should have called it.
Oh, my fucking Lord. Fuck me in the beard. This is a travesty. A travesty. Mayweather, an Olympic bronze medalist in the 96 Olympics, who did the amateurs, amassed a very impressive record, fought his first fight in, and by the way, here's a little factoid, useless information. Guess who was Floyd Money Mayweather's very first sponsor? Dana White. You can see on the back of his warm-up when he fought. He fought in the parking lot of a Las Vegas, I think, casino or bar or whatnot. But that's how far back they go. So small world after all. Anywho, going back to my original point, Jake Paul should be on celebrity boxing. But now, celebrity boxing, this is like Vanilla fucking Ice. If he was a YouTube celebrity, instead of being on fucking celebrity boxing, now he's a part of a legitimate card. They're going to be part of a legitimate card. And he's sharing the ring with a fucking
legitimate boxing match was an exhibition.
Wait, what's up?
It was just an exhibition, so.
Between who?
Between Floyd or Mike Tyson and Roy.
Yeah, but they earned it. They're in their 50s, multiple time world champions, boxing hall of famers, greatest of all time. You know? True. Jake Paul should be.
I did enjoy it. I'm just saying.
If Jake Paul wanted to be a part of that event and it happens in any generation, Jake Paul would be in the stands watching. It's absolutely absurd that Jake Paul is a headline marquee name selling tickets. And he only been training for 3 years. He only has, what, 2-3 bites under his belt? Like, he's fighting against a future Hall of Famer and one of the greatest of all time, Floyd Mayweather. I was about to say Muhammad Ali, but it's fucking a farce. It's bullshit. Boxing's in trouble. They're diluting the sport.
Boxing's been in trouble.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
I mean, I haven't watched a boxing match, like I said, since Pacquiao and Mayweather. Like, that was the last one. I was like, no, I'm done.
I watched Danny Garcia's fight last night. Woo, that was crazy. Boxing still has talent.
I guess I did watch the Conor McGregor Mayweather fight.
Boxing doesn't need a talent injection. They need a marketing injection. They need all these promoters that run their own promotions, fucking Oscar De La Hoya's bullshit and Mayweather's thing and Don King and whoever. They need to put their differences aside. BC needs to do some fucking serious work and invest their money where they're going to make the most money long term, and that's marketing fighters. Mike Tyson, they absolutely marketed the fuck out of Mike Tyson. First, Nassim Hamed, marketed to the moon. Roy Jones Jr., Hopkins, Antonio Tarver, Barrera, Mickey Ward, Gotti, they know how to market fighters. They have proved it in the past. That's why we're still talking to them and not talking about today's modern day talent. Boxing does not need a talent injection of YouTube stars. They need a marketing injection to market talented fighters. Period. This is bullshit.
Boxing's got some serious competition with MMA and bare knuckle and everything else that's going on.
Thank you, Howie. You should have been on the prelim, if that. Howie knows what he's talking about. Thank God. I love the people that listen in. They're my kind of people. God, I love you, Howie.
Look, am I not your kind of people?
Of course you are. But Howie knows fighting. You know fighting too, but like, you're like, oh, Jake Paul is a great idea. He brought in more guys than Mike Tyson. What?
I understand where you're coming from, man. You're a purist. You live and breathe. I'm talking about from an entertainment, new eyes on the sport type, and you know, it's not dumb.
Disagree. Agree to disagree, I guess.
All the undercards probably are happy it happened.
So. No, there were more talented fighters on the undercard. Sure. There were better fights on the undercard.
And they got more eyes on them because of it.
No, the only thing that was shown, I mean, they showed it for free on Chilla, but it wasn't on the main card. So Jake Paul took up a spot for a boxing star that's going to actually do something with his career.
They wouldn't have showed that either.
Okay. Neither here or there. Let's wrap up the show. Let's wrap it up like a Christmas present.
I think you're going to need some more drinks.
No, I'm drinking cola. No alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at. Anywho, so thank you very much for joining us for the Fight Mixer. Jake Paul versus CM Punk. Jake, that is fucking genius. Two guys that nobody gives a fuck about. I'm just kidding. But two guys, Jake Paul, CM Punk, you know, put them on celebrity boxing, celebrity MMA. CM Punk, I support Jake Paul and CM Punk fighting boxing, mixed martial arts.
Maybe we just need to put it on Fight Mixer Boxing.
Dude. No. No. Not at all. I support Jake Paul should be involved with boxing. I'm like Brad Chudy. I think anyone can cook, anyone can box, or anybody can fight. So I'm like Brad Chudy when it comes to that. It's in our DNA. It's fucking passed down. It's in our genes that we can defend ourselves. We can fight. Excuse me, I'm all gassy. I have no qualms about CM Punk and Jake Paul fighting. But they should start the Warriors journey just like everybody else did. We just had Christine on. 12-0 kickboxing record. 3-0 amateurs. Going to Evicta. Then going to bare knuckle fighting. She did the Warriors journey. She went through the shit. And now she's at the top. CM Punk and Jake Paul did not make that journey. They're doing it for money. They're doing it for clout. They're doing it for television. They're not doing it for the love of the game. And if you disagree with me, then let's put on a fight. A UFC fight that nobody, there's no pay-per-view. And you're not allowed to post on Instagram your training videos. You're not allowed to do interviews or anything like that. You have to do the same thing that fighters have done in 06, 07, 08, 09 without social media besides MySpace and fight for the love of the game. Do they fight? No. You know why they don't fight? Because all they care about is fucking themselves. They don't care about the sport. They're doing it for clout. Bottom line. Put them in celebrity boxing where people that are looking for clout, you know, that's where they go. So any rebuttal?
What's that?
Any rebuttal? I'm waiting for it.
You ready?
Okay, we're wrapping up. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you everybody for watching the Fight Mixer. We'll see you Wednesday and Thursday this week. Peace out, Cub Scout. I'll see you on the next round.
Peace. Perfect.